Our present conference is on the spirituality of Saint Ignatius. Today, on the opening of the general chapter of the Society of Jesus in Rome, it seems appropriate to give a conference on the spirituality of Saint Ignatius, the founder of the Society of Jesus. Unlike other religious institutes in the Church, the Society of Jesus does not have regular chapters, which we call general congregations. A general chapter is held in the Society of Jesus on only two occasions: when the superior general dies and a new one is to be elected, because our generals are never elected for a term. They are elected for life. And secondly, when there is a grave need for a general chapter. Our superior general, Father Kovenbach, is very much alive. The reason, therefore, is because there was a very grave need for holding a general chapter. For obvious reasons, my purpose in this conference is not to go into the grave needs which occasion the holding of only some 30 chapters in ...460 years of Jesuit history. There are grave needs. I rather thought I should speak to you, better with you, on the spirituality of my own Father in God, Saint Ignatius of Loyola. My plan is to cover just 10 maxims, as they were called, of Saint Ignatius. Over the years, there have been published what are called the Scintillae Ignatianae, the thoughtful drops, ideas of Saint Ignatius, one for each day of the year. They are classified. There are 10 categories. I'll choose one maxim from each of the 10 categories, quote the maxim, and then give a brief commentary. First, each of these sets of maxims has a general title. I'll give the title, then the maxim, and then a short explanation and application for our own mutual spiritual lives. First, the love of God. Quote Ignatius. If you wish to advance in the love of God, speak of it. Spiritual conversations are to charity what the wind is to the flame. Unquote, Saint Ignatius. Let me repeat. If you wish to advance in the love of God, speak of it. Spiritual conversations are to charity what the wind is to the flame. Some comment. Talk about God and the things of God. It will not only increase your own love of God, but will increase the love of others for God. There is nothing in the heart which has not first been in the mind. Words spoken by the lips. Speak of God, that enlightens the mind. The mind enlightened with thoughts of God inflames the heart with the love of God. Talk about God and the things of God. Second, detachment and self-conquest. Quote Saint Ignatius, there are few persons, perhaps none, who thoroughly understand how much we obstruct God when He desires to work in us, and all that He would do for us if we did not hinder Him. There are few persons, perhaps none, who thoroughly understand how much we obstruct God when He desires to work in us, and all that He would do for us if we did not hinder Him. Commentary. It is our self-will that obstructs the will of God. In other words, we are to do God's will. And in two ways, I hope I'll be clear. We are to do His will first, by not hindering the work of His grace. And secondly, by actively cooperating with His grace. God will do wonders. He wants to perform miracles. No exaggeration. Only one limitation is on our side. Either by placing obstacles to the work of His grace, or not cooperating with the grace that He gives us, and my friends, are there many people do not cooperate with the grace of God? They don't recognize the grace when they see it. They're actually, can you imagine? There are people who think there's no such thing as a painful grace. How stupid can you be? You run away from pain, my dear. You're running away from grace. Maxim number 3 on the religious life. First, quoting Ignatius. To see a religious sad, who no longer desires anything but God, would be as much a miracle as to see a person happy who seeks everything except God. Isn't that neat? Let me requote. To see a religious sad who no longer desires anything but God would be as much a miracle as to see a person happy who seeks everything except God. My commentary. There is not. There cannot be. There never was. There never will be true happiness except in giving one's heart totally to God. And there are so many ways in which people in their folly give their hearts to, you name it, what or whom. Maxim number 4, on charity and zeal. First, quoting St. Ignatius. If, as is human, faults occur in others, let them be a mirror in which you can see what defects you should correct in yourself. Unquote. If, as is human, faults occur in others, let them be a mirror in which you can see what defects you should correct in yourself. Some commentary. The faults of others are providential reminders of our own. That's why people have failings. That's why they do wrong. To shake us from our lethargy. The patience and mercy we have with our own failings should be the norm of our patience and mercy with the failings of others. And we can be heroically patient with ourselves. This scoundrel, this nincompoop, this rascal, you supply the synonyms. And we've not only tolerated, you think by now we couldn't stand the sight of that person. Oh no, oh no, not you again, first thing in the morning, not you again. What a marvelous thing is love. Love will find goodness even in evil. But you've got to love. Ignatius tells us that's why people have failings, to remind us of our own. And over the years of dealing with so many souls, I have found it is often the anger with oneself that is really at the heart of the impatience we think we have with others. We may not admit it, but we see ourselves reflected in that X with whom I'm living, or whom, Lord, I am to love. Fifth maxim, the apostolate. First, quoting St. Ignatius, there is nothing of which an apostolic person has more need than interior recollection. There is nothing of which an apostolic person has more need than interior recollection. Unquote, Ignatius. On the face of it, this seems, to put it mildly, strange. You would think the apostle would have to do with all kinds of, well, reaching out to others. Over the years, I've come up with this definition of the apostolate. The apostolate is being a channel of grace to others. The apostolate is being a channel of grace to others. Whatever else we do for anyone, you name it, feeding a starving nation, saving millions from, say, the death that otherwise would await them, providing, you name it, for what needs, whether mental, emotional, or volitional. The essence of the apostolate is to provide grace for people. There are three prepositions that are the heart of our faith. They are the prepositions from, through, and to. All grace comes from God. Grace comes through human beings. Grace comes from God through human beings to other human beings. No one can even baptize himself, right? Following that basic logic, which is the foundation stone of the apostolate. Union with God is the heart of the apostolate. The more I say this, the more I preach it, the more I write it, I keep telling myself, harden in the name of God, live it. Nothing else matters, nothing. You're only as effective conduits of the grace of God to others as we ourselves are united with God. Sixth maxim on the cross. Quote Ignatius, all the pleasures of the world are nothing compared with the sweetness found in the gall and vinegar offered to Jesus Christ. That is, hard and painful things endured for Jesus Christ and with Jesus Christ. Unquote, St. Ignatius. To repeat, all the pleasures of the world are nothing compared with the sweetness found in the golden vinegar offered to Jesus Christ. That is, hard and painful things endured for Jesus Christ and with Jesus Christ. Clearly, the key words are for and with. I'm still learning the hardest lesson in life. The greatest joy on earth is loving the cross. All happiness consists in satisfied desires. Standard definition of happiness, satisfied desires. The deepest desire of the human heart is to love God. This love is satisfied here on earth most fully by endurance for Jesus Christ and with Jesus Christ, my crucified God. Ah, that adjective, my crucified God. That his love for me, God became man so that out of love for me, he might be able to be crucified. And I love him only as deeply and as dearly as out of love for him, I embrace and press my lips to the bleeding cross on which my Savior is dying out of love for me. And my friends, this is not poetry. This is stark reality. seventh maxim, prudence. Quotation from Saint Ignatius. It is easier to listen than to speak, and we should listen much and speak little, unquote Ignatius. It is easier to listen than to speak, and we should listen much and speak little. What a maxim for most people. The tongue is the best barometer of our love of God. By listening, we permit others to practice well the charity of speaking. And by listening, we practice this charity of not offending against charity by our speech. By listening, we hear what someone else is saying, so that when we speak, we can speak with charity. No two people are to be spoken to in precisely the same way. And I would say, on any two successive occasions, we practice charity when we meet people's needs. How can I know what a person needs unless I allow myself to listen? Oh, then I speak, and the balm of my tongue, that's B-A-L-M, the soothing gentleness of my speech, may be the most important practice of charity that a person needs. Oh, but I must listen and not just be the syllables were there, but say, to hear now at this moment, which I can never tell unless I've been closely listening. And remember, to listen is to want to hear. My will is involved when I listen. Again, on that same maxim, the tongue is the best index of our humility. Restraint in speech is the foundation of a humble heart. No one, practices humility unless they have controlled their tongue. A triple exclamation mark. Maxim 8 on Divine Providence. quote St. Ignatius, "Very few understand what God would do for them if only they relied entirely on His providence," unquote. Very few understand what God would do for them if only they relied entirely on His providence. God provides in the measure of our trust. God provides in the degree of our reliance on Him. In other words, the more difficult, even desperate, a situation is, the more we must abandon ourselves to the providence of God and tell Him, "Lord, You're in charge." Almost 50 years in the priesthood have taught me the most common, the patented temptation of the devil for those who want to serve God with their whole heart is worry, anxiety. And the secret, of course, is to tell the Lord, "Lord, I know I cannot do it by myself. Whatever my needs, whatever my problem, I'm in Your hands." And some people have to daily, even during the day, keep making acts of trustful confidence in God's providence, because, I repeat, the devil is always, especially, hell-bent on disturbing souls that want to serve Christ with their whole hearts. I mean disturbing, worrying, making anxious. "Trust me," our Lord says. "Trust me." Number 9. On spiritual joy. St. Ignatius, short maxim: "He lives happily, unceasingly, as far as he can, has his mind on God and God in his heart," unquote. He lives happily, unceasingly, as far as he can, has his mind on God and God in his heart. I hope I'll be clear. We all want to be happy. How come there are so many unhappy people in the world? The reason is they are looking for happiness outside of where it can be found. It can be found only inside, and that inside is not a figure of speech. It can be found only in the mind and in the will. Joy, therefore, which is the standard theological term for true happiness, joy is interior happiness. Joy is spiritual pleasure. joyous satisfaction of our mind and will. And how do we nourish the satisfaction of mind and satisfaction of will? Our minds are to be nourished on the thought of God. Keep thinking of God. But I have to make an effort. Stupid. That's what this is all about. Wake up. Thoughts feed the mind. Thoughts of God nourish the mind with the first kind of spiritual joy for which there is no substitute. Secondly, even as our minds are to be nourished on the thoughts of God, so our wills are to be nourished on acts of the love of God. For beginners, this can seem somewhat mechanical. Well, so what? The secret is to, first thing in the morning, start talking to God. Last thing at night, keep talking to God. Then, since God wants you to sleep, tell Him, "Now, dear Lord, there must be time off. I want to sign off. You'll understand." "Yes, I understand." And acts of the love of God. Now let me tell you, if it may seem mechanical at the beginning, you get over the mechanics very quickly. You have to. There are things that God will put into your life. "Oh Lord, except for you, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be here." An act of the love of God. "Well, you know, I don't like this." "Yes, I know, I know. It has nothing to do with it. You love me, don't you?" "Yes, I do. That's why I'm here." Finally, tenth maxim, confidence in God. Quoting St. Ignatius. "Do not place your confidence in constant good fortune. Rather, be apprehensive. For in this life, everything changes at the slightest provocation." Period. Unquote. Repeat. "Do not place your confidence in constant good fortune. Rather, be apprehensive, for in this life everything changes at the slightest provocation." It sure does. Nothing lasting nothing and durable. Nothing continues except God. And that is why it is in Him that we are to place our confidence. And God makes sure I know what I'm talking about. He makes sure that the longer our lifespan, the more sure it will be that creatures will disappoint us. It is part of the mysterious but wonderful wisdom of God. God wants to wean us, the closer we come to eternity, from everything that is passing and changeable in this world, to set our hearts uniquely on Him, the unchangeable and lasting and the only satisfying good for which we were made. That's why God sends us difficulties. That is why God put so many things we expected to rely on. It's gone. For years I took my eyes for granted. Oh, what I've learned. For surgeries. Help a little bit. Took my ears for granted. Hearing changes. God wants us to rely solely on His own unchangeable wisdom and love. He wants to make sure that we see in Him and Him alone the reason why He made us. Saint Ignatius, founder of the Society of Jesus, pray for us. Mary, Queen of the Society of Jesus, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.